mammy. They mammies don't care about them. That's why they let them go. And I was like, mammies? Jesus, mom.
Talking stuff about Sheila down the street and Tanya and whoever else.
That's why they ain't got no goddamn food in their house right now.
Damn. Hey, but come on, you hungry? I know your mama don't feed you.
No. No,
the
kid don't even catch it.
No, like, right. Mom, we hungry. I'm hungry.
I bet you ain't had no good food in a while, huh?
Right.
Yo. Yo, don't know nothing about macaroni.
We don't just make pizza here.
I'm, man.
It's not just hot dogs over here. But
damn. Right.
Damn. Y'all don't sit down and eat? No, you don't.
Tell
I
your
know
friends
you.
To go wash their face and everything. Y'all around here. Hey.
Your mammies don't
care. Yeah, they go to the table like, no, we wash our hands around here.
Right. Yeah, okay. You don't just take a hot dog off the table and walk around and look at the TV. Say grace, you heathens.
Welcome back, hero.
All right, what up, though, lovers? This is I, your guy, Handsome Bane, a Violet Power Claim, the compelling protagonist. I'm here today with my partners. You've seen him before, the founder of The Feast, Rich Daly, Be Rich, and the incomparable Travoy Pruitt. Today, we're just going to talk about retails, dog, retail tales. And we were blue refugees. We did everything. Like, I mean, among the three of us and everybody else we know, the buy, the depot, you did.
U-Haul.
You did U-Haul. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's very much retail. Yeah.
Shit, I had done Staples, Microsoft Store,
Rite Aid.
CVS, I did CVS as a
pharmacy. I did Rite Aid before, yeah.
Did Lowe's.
We ran the gauntlet.
Yeah, I did Rite Aid for like 3 weeks. Overnight, and was just like, all right.
I stopped and shop for you.
No, what were you talking about? The Walgreens, you didn't have a soul?
No, Rite Aid,
you didn't have no soul.
No soul, just like, good, 11, 12.
Like a card, okay.
It's bad too, because you kind of get like, you see people come in for cigarettes, and like they walk in, and you just, oh, they just wrap their cigarettes.
Yeah.
Soulless. That's a soulless job.
Try to speak up a little bit because this isn't going to pick you up from there.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so we all, you know, as many anybody who watches and listens, they know we met up at Best Buy.
Is that the grand opening?
I GO'd that store. I think you were at Cambridge.
I was at Cambridge for a day, and then there was a flood, and then I
stayed
over there.
Yeah, and. Yeah, it was like a sick flood, and it was just like,
yeah.
And I think you had been going through the process of getting hired over there for a minute, and then got hired, and then like we opened in South Bay, like right by your house. So it was like, yeah, and
Damn, I remember that flood. I was crying. The Cambridge workers was crying. Like,
bro,
what was that? I forgot their store numbers.
I mean, they just put them out of the stores, right?
What are y'all crying?
Yeah, I mean, they fixed it and then they opened.
Well,
yeah, it was just yeah. And that was, man, that's crazy. Like when you think about retail culture, because I know like when we GO'd the store, they did a culture day, and so it was like people coming in from the district, and they were doing like the stupid cheers and shit. Like, if you like, that's why. What is that? Superstore. You seen that show?
Yeah, I've seen a couple.
Superstore is if you ever seen it, is I guess it's supposed to be more like a Walmart store, mm-hmm. But of course, they do all the morning meeting shit that we did and the meet up in a circle and icebreaker and shit. Yeah. So they did like a Black Friday episode, which of course was nuts, and we can talk about that. We can certainly speak to that. They did just like I said, they did like a culture day kind of thing. But in ours, they were showing us all those cheesy videos and all the shit where it was, you know, something like, Shriek, not in my house. It was just like,
yes, it is.
Yeah, dog. Niggas was running rampant. Like, I know, like, definitely, like, before I left, I'm pretty sure it was pretty bad. But, like, after I left, nigga, it was like if everybody in Ocean's 11 was looking the other way. Like, it was just like,
it was
like mice, nigga. Like, they was just doing whatever they felt like doing.
Like, I don't know what happened to the company as a whole, though. Even when you go in there now, it's just,
well, they went, they were, air, they were public for a little bit, right? And then they, like, when you go public, you have to appease the people, your shareholders.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, like, at that point, it's like, we don't care what you do, make the money.
Yeah.
So at that point, you're grinding associates out to just make whatever money.
Yeah.
Which the morale goes down, start stealing, whatever.
I guess from Best Buy, I got a lot of, you get your customer service skills, and you kind of get your people skills.
Yeah, like you can, yeah, if you, yeah, they teach you how to manage, like when we were running like numbers and stuff, and then we went to other stores, we went, I remember, what was that weak ass nigga? Jose over at Home Depot. The one whose brother punched him in the face. And like, this kid really thought like he was about to be, like he was always trying to be a manager. He was always trying to act like he was a manager. Yeah, he's still there. No, I think he's a manager in Quincy, I believe.
Not recent. I'll say within a year, I've seen him at the, him and, what was Cronin.
Yeah, Cronin's there. Like, he's the store manager there.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Nasty Mike left.
Took all his whores with him.
Yeah, he took all of his Spanish whores with him because that's what he was into at the time. And we're all over the place, but I promise we're going to bring it back to a point in a minute. Yeah, like it was just like weird with management, and when he came up to us, like he was putting us on the side. First of all, like we're all older than you, nigga, and we're all better at this than you are. And when he came up and was like, "All right, I'm gonna teach you guys how to read numbers," I was like, "Oh, this is the GDP that we did today. This is the margin, blase spli. Yeah, we could do this. We're down in this department, and we need to pick it up with this."
Cool. I'm gonna show you how to face this aisle.
No, we got it, dog. But like, fam, we ran these numbers down across the street like all the time. We got it. We're good. And he was like, when he saw, like, that was another thing that he was upset that he truly couldn't, like, he had no value. He had no value to us. And so it was just like, I could literally run this department better than you, and I'm just here for the check. I was like, and Steve was telling me, like, I yelled at everybody at one, like one day I was like, cause I was just sick of everybody just being lazy and, you know, like the shit falls on us. And I was just like, yeah, this is unacceptable. And then Steve came at me and he was like, you're probably making more than, you know, some of the supervisors here. And I'm like, whose fault is that? Didn't you hire me?
Yeah,
and didn't you, you know what I'm saying? I told you what I wanted. Like, you get what you negotiate, not what you deserve. I'm sorry, bro. And, yeah, because our man's, and I ain't even gonna say his name and put him out there like that, but our guy, he got the supervisor position, and then like 2 months later came, he was like, "Yo, I got that raise, I'm up to, you know, whatever he was getting." I was like, "Damn, you still, come on with the dirt bikes." But right.
Oh, I know he's,
you know what I'm talking about, and I don't even want to put him out there because he's a great guy. And he deserved, he deserved way more money than what he was getting because they saw what he, for real.
He might have been getting a quarter more than me.
Right. And I was like, yo, I'm going to negotiate my bread, and then I'm only going to do X amount of work. I'm like, I'm going to work hard when I do it. I'm like, yeah, this is all me. I got this. And the shit was straight. And then, but I'm also like, I'm not about to go, dog. The streets is wilding out here right now. We are in Dorchester, nigga. But so one of the stories I want to get to, because we're supposed to be telling stories right now, but the story I want you to kick off first, and please speak up.
I knew this was gonna happen.
Of course. I want you to discuss real quick the revolt you started at Home Depot when you worked overnight. and all them niggas found out you was like making more money than them. So I was at the table. Rich was working day shift with us. And then, you know, was Sarai born yet?
No, she was going to be born.
Yeah, okay. I was doing overnight. So you had to do overnight.
Yeah, she was born. I was doing overnights and watching her.
Yeah, yes, you were burning the candle at both ends hard as hell. So Rich was doing overnights. His daughter had just been born. He was staying at home with her in the daytime and working overnight. And all of these were like the old school guys that had been here for like, they had been at Home Depot for like 20 some odd years. So Rich, go ahead. Tell us about that night.
And the overnight team was it was comprised of a bunch of hardworking guys, man. It was hardworking. And I went in there, I don't even know what I was making, but when I heard what they were making, how much work they were doing, I was just
like, cause they used to hustle.
This dude, he kept the cleaning aisle.
It was beautiful.
Top shape.
Yeah.
Dude had a bad knee. Old dude. He had to be like 50 something.
They were all, yeah.
And I don't know how we were on break or something. They were on break. And he was like, oh man, I hope I get that raise. And he was like, this 912 ain't cutting it. I was like,
for an overnight, bro.
I was like, wait, what? What are you getting? He was like, it was like 9 something. I was like, dude. What's happening right now? And then I was like, well, damn, because I think I was making like $13.50 or something like that.
Yeah.
That's unheard of with them. But see, a lot of them, I don't know, like they were here legally, but like they really
didn't have
qualifications.
Yep.
So they could actually play them like, hey, $9. That's it. But they couldn't play me. I was like, nah, I was making, for that time, I was making decent money. But it started to go around when I was getting all the Jamaicans hated me.
Which is like, crazy, because this is why they tell you don't talk about pay. But we should always, like, we should definitely openly be talking about
you never know,
pay.
Like, yo, y'all were getting played.
Yeah, exactly.
13, but then it came to a point to where like I had to do something. The Jamaicans wouldn't let me touch their machines. they wouldn't really eat lunch with me. So it was a big thing. But over time, they came to respect it. But at the end of the day, man, like, yeah, it was just, I always, like, even when I left that overnight position, I told them I was going to lunch. I just didn't come back. I didn't. I was like, I'm not going back. And I shook the dice and went somewhere else. But every night for like the next year or two, every night at 10 o'clock, I'm like, damn, there's a bunch of hardworking motherfuckers getting paid nothing. Like
for real. And yeah, so to go back to that point that we should, they say don't talk about pay, and we should be talking about pay. Like, you could have been doing them a huge favor, because they got to go in there and be like, yo, I know what other people are making.
Yeah.
And you gotta put the bosses under pressure.
Michael was stalking the tubs and the showers, and like he was the beast at it. He was gone for a week, and I had to do it, and I sucked. And I'm like, damn, dude, he does all that in like 4 hours, like, dude.
Yeah.
You get paid what? Like, dude, y'all just get playing, Hey, you know, if you don't take the initiative.
Again, you get what you negotiate, and not what you deserve. So.
But yeah, they hated me. I couldn't use machines. They would knock shit over. Like, it was sucker shit. Like, they would do. Yeah, it was sucker shit.
Yeah, but see, that's what I'm saying. They misdirect that anger.
Yeah, when they started to get other people and they fell off and I was the only one that was coming in, they were like, okay, this little motherfucker, I hate him, but he shows up. Because everybody was just quick.
Yeah.
And it came to that time. I was like, I went to lunch, I went home. I was
like, yo, it is nothing like quitting in style. I know when I quit, I took my apron and hung it up at the top stop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember like.
I hung it up in the top stop because I was like, well, and it wasn't even like a fuck you to them, really. It was just like me being, you know, I'm out, man. But I mean, it was fuck certain people, but for other people who saw it, like, you know, they got a kick out of it because it was like this nigga really quit in style.
It was certain people. Like, I would say, because my night manager, he did the same thing. With, like, I was working overnight and watching my daughter during the day while my child's mother went to work. So my manager actually went through the same thing I went through. But they also hated me because I came late every day. I was supposed to be there at 10 o'clock. I would get there at 11:45, 12. Yeah. But since everybody was quitting, they're like, fuck, we need him to do the little shit.
Right.
Fuck it. They hated me. They hated me. They fucking hated me.
But, and a lot of times we talk about like how our decisions could be guided by anger. Travoy, you we were just talking about you could pass on that. We were just talking about how you at our time together at the bye, you were like super mad at times where we could never really tell. Well, for one, we could never really tell when you really were mad.
Oh, I was just
because you would just be fucking with people.
I feel like it was covered with a lot of sarcasm sometimes. Well, yeah, I think it was still genuinely
that dry humor where I'll say something and just look at you and you're like,
Like I never felt like any of it was directed at like us.
Yeah.
So like, because we would kick it. And then no. So tell us, because you won what we call the store hero. Let's discuss that first.
Well, you mean like, well, no, it's the
employee hero,
hardest worker, or some shit.
Well, I made that up.
Yeah,
I'll tell y'all about that in a minute. But it was like one of their corny kind of recognition pieces.
Yeah, morale booster.
Yeah.
Now, was that when Kenny?
Yes.
Gave me? Okay,
yes.
Yeah,
that's
so
exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, man, I cut this short.
You gotta go.
All right, Rich is out of here. Wait, real quick before you go.
Yes.
The quick story, the time traveler, please.
Oh my god, I think this was tax free weekend. Only person I really told I think was Ninja, was Mike, but I think I told y'all later though. But
yeah,
when
you
it
told
instantly happened, I went back and told him. I was of course I think Corey called out for LP, so Rich is at the front, pissed, and people are coming in and out. They're coming in and out. I'm like, All right, sticker this and sticker that, return, check our receipts. This dude comes in, like, not like Men in Black, but he had on a suit and glasses and was like, hi, I'm like, hey, what's going on, boss? Sticker and stuff. All right, have a good day. I'm looking for pieces for a time-space continuum machine or something like that. So I look at him, I'm like, all right.
Come on, man.
I'm kind of looking for a camera to see if it's like, maybe fucking with me. I'm like, okay. Have a good day. And like, he's still standing there. I'm like, sir. He's like, no. Like, do you have the parts for the time space continuum? I'm like, sir, we don't have that. All right, have a good day. I walked out. Y'all didn't come up. Nobody came up. I'm like,
you just dealt with a crazy thing.
So then I think I called somebody to the front. I ran back to Ninja. I was like, yo, dude, this dude just asked me for the time space continuum. He's like, was he being serious? I was like, yeah. He's like, shit, you probably met somebody from
for real. No, that was almost, I was like, dog, what if this nigga was trapped?
That's what Mike was saying.
He's like, dog, he's from another dimension. He probably just so I was like, dude, I was like, yo, because I was kind of waiting for like cameras and shit to come up. But I'm like, well, for him to laugh, and he didn't, I swear.
The face was super straight.
He had the glasses on. He was like, literally stood there waiting for me to answer him. And I'm like, I looked, I'm like, sir, we don't have anything like that. He's like, oh, all right, sorry. You have a good day. And I was like, damn.
Hell no.
You really wanted those pieces. So, yeah. Maybe he's stuck. I don't know.
Oh, man.
The other one was the old man with the diagonal.
Yes.
Just real quick, because I got to go. The dude, he comes in old. He's like an old black dude. Kind of like he just stopped doing drugs. Probably, I don't know. He comes in, I'm looking for a memory card for a camera. I said, yep. I said, if you just go in the middle of the store and go diagonally left. He was like, okay. And he stood there for a second. He was like, diagonal. So I had to stop and think. I was like, wait, did I learn that in college? No.
No, nigga, diagonal.
I'm like, sir,
it's like a slant.
And
like,
then he even went in the middle and you see him looking like, they're like, somebody came to help. Like, Davey or somebody came to help him.
Hell no. Oh.
I got 1,000 stories, man. But definitely,
yeah, we do.
Time.
We all definitely right, revisit that. All right, brother.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you coming through. Yeah, we can put it right there. Oh. Hell no.
Dang.
Oh, hell no.
I thought I went to college and learned that, man.
Oh.
Damn.
Have you done one of these before about retail stories?
Huh?
Have you done one of these episodes? You've touched on it, but like, have you done
it? We touched on it, like, briefly. We didn't really get into it, but it was another one that we had that I had asking this nigga that I wanted to do. But it was definitely, it was that one. Yo, what about my man who ordered the, was it Call of Duty?
Call of Duty, and he was supposed to get the,
the goggles.
And they gave it to somebody or something, and this nigga was not having it.
Yo.
he was like cursing up and down. Sean Crutchley was the GM.
He came out trying to help him.
We'll give you the game for free.
He was like, I'm gonna give you the game right now.
Yeah.
When we get your stuff in,
we'll get you
the other
like,
one.
He's like, I understand. Like, he went above and beyond.
Right.
But that nigga just still was being ignorant. Had that dope ass broad with him. And she, we just had to be walking up front at the time. And
I was walking up. I had my LP shirt on, and I had the black gloves. Mechanic gloves because I was carrying the TV.
And he's like, because he thought we was coming, I guess, to score them out.
What did he say?
What he said? He's like, what's good, nigga? He was looking at you. Yeah. And you were like, life? Like, you said life. He just kept walking. I was like, what the fuck is... We looked at each other.
We could
like,
do this in the parking lot, nigga. Like, he looked me up and down. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, and I was like, dude, it's not that serious. And I looked at you. I was like, we could just flex this nigga.
And I caught on to, like, what he was, like, what had happened. And I was like, sir, your country needs... His girl was so embarrassed. Like,
Sean was pissed. He was like beat red.
Yeah.
I never seen him like he's ready to throw some hands.
And, hold on, let me get this.
Damn, we have so many stories about retail, like, and we have to, like, water it down so we don't get nobody in trouble.
Well, I mean, it's a bunch of people who may or may not be watching this, so it's all good. But then, our boy... Rudy. You knew where I was going.
I mean, he was honest. He was unfiltered. Just the story, the one that's most memorable for me, you, I know, is the one where they were trying to explain credit cards to him. Yeah, and he understood up until the point where he's like, yeah, something, no interest. And he's like, what's interest? I'm like, oh, you have to pay it back.
You had to literally explain credit to him. He's and, like, why a credit card company would give you money to do something. And then, like, what the catch was. So he had to explain that it was interest. And then it was like, yeah. Because he had the credit card.
Yeah.
And he was just using it. And it was like, yeah, you got to pay that back.
He had this like quick look of confusion. He's like, pay it back. The way he said it, I cannot recreate the way he said it.
Pay it back. He's like, his voice was so like, his voice went up so high.
Like, he was confused.
Pay it back.
But excited, but all, like,
for what?
Yeah, that's
what
he said. Like,
pay it back.
He's like, yeah, we ain't doing that. Like,
damn, Rudy, like, they're gonna ruin you though. Like, they don't.
And but, didn't care. I mean,
but that's what I'm saying to a hood nigga. Like, what is credit? Like.
Yeah, it's like,
y'all keep
right.
giving me. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm gonna go right to rent.
I'm not about to buy a house. I'm not about to, you know, like, unless y'all kick my door in and take the stuff back. It doesn't bother me. So, I guess, but
yeah. So like, I mean, retail is interesting because like it's shitty, but you create this bond with people like.
Yo, that, like, streets, just, relax, B.
That you like, it just won't. I don't know. It's. I guess I would equate it to like. Probably college, like, you meet people you'll know for the rest of your life.
Right.
Like, there's days in retail where I was like, man, I cannot walk into this place. And I was like, I can't let my boys down. Like,
all right.
Yeah, I was like, say it's truck day.
Truck day would be a bitch. And then, like, y'all would come in. Like, there's nothing worse on truck day than somebody calling out.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, come on, man. Like, damn. And then, like, if you, even then, like, truck days could be, like, really fun. So it would, like, you know, whether we ordered a pizza or, we, you know, it was just like a pain in the ass truck. And it was still like when we all, it was one time, I think you were there. Pretty sure you were there. There was a time where Jose was like, it was like a streak of maybe 3 to 5 trucks that were just like a pain and not getting done because of the process. And by not getting done, I mean it was like a couple of totes left over. Where it was just like nowhere to put the stuff, so it was like there was no plan or whatever, and Jose was like, that's because you guys never did a truck with me. You'll never did a truck with me. And Jose was at the time what they called a product process manager, meaning you did. He was the manager of inventory, merchandising, and loss prevention. And product process managers have a tendency to be pricks. Like they're kind of like, you know, assholes, because if something is stolen or lost or just missing, it's kind of their ass. But this guy, I think he saw Sagat in the mirror when he would talk shit, because he would talk to you like he could beat you in a fight. And so there was like I said, the streak where it was like the trucks just weren't getting done completely and beautifully every single time. And so he vowed that, oh yeah, I'm gonna do the truck. I'm gonna lead the truck, and it's gonna be amazing. Like everything's gonna be tight. It was like, all right, cool. And he did the truck, and it was the worst it had ever been, because I came to everybody before the truck. I rounded everybody up like behind his back and was like, listen, nobody do anything that we know works. Okay, everybody do exactly as he says.
Yep.
Nobody do any of the other, like, you know, the stuff that we know that we have to do in order to get this shit done. Like, we know that SOP doesn't work for this store, and that's the reason why they change SOP or they tweak it and you know, move it around for people who need to do different things for different stores, because our warehouse is small and they save most of the stuff for the floor. So we'll do everything he says to do exactly the way he says to do it. And it was a shit show. And so it was like, he was like, we're going to save the totes for last. And I was like, that's a bad idea, but okay. And everybody was working hard trying to get it done. And just stuff was, and everything was out on the floor except for the totes. And it was, you know, like the totes, we were like mountains of totes.
Yeah.
Like, we would drag out like totes 8 high, which has to be unsafe. But we did it because it was the fastest way to do it. And we were there, it was like midnight. And you're never supposed to have people there at midnight. Like, you should be done at close. And he comes in the next day like, oh, dude, I'm so sore. Like, you didn't do nothing, dog. Like, we didn't even get through the totes, my nigga. Like, so... And Leo was the manager at the time, and he was like, oh yeah, tell Jose he gotta work every truck. And I was like, yo, Leo said you gotta work every truck, man. He's like, dude, fuck that, dude. I was like, so can we go back to doing what we normally do, because you weren't here, and so you were here, and we did everything the way you said to do it. And he never said shit about the truck process after that. But he was a dude that you just had to, like, you would think, like, dog, today's gonna be the day. I'm gonna hit this nigga hard as hell. I'm gonna make it work. I'm gonna get my money's worth.
Some people, like, they talk like that to people. They don't realize what they're doing.
Because all he had is your job hanging over you, and that was his thing.
They don't give a fuck.
And some people don't.
I find another job.
I was like, my nigga, we in Dorchester, nigga.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? I see you off the clock.
I mean, I could get people to come up here even if I'm worried about being face to face and knocking your head off, but I'm not. like the time that chick brought the Cape Verdean lady kept coming in and out the store, and somebody told me to, like, get her out of the store, and I'm like, I'm not about to go over and put my hands on this lady. And then I was like, yeah, you gotta go. And then she's like, sorry. She all of a sudden she comes back up there with some dude, and they go over to customer service, and like the whole time the dude is looking at me. That's when I was like, that was the only time I think I lost my cool, because it was like, I know a threat when I see one. Yeah. So I was just like, oh, no. Like, I know for a fact that I yelled, I'm from Detroit. So that's pretty much a war cry. Like,
yeah, I was like, look, man, if you
want
to do this.
Nigga, I'm from Detroit. So it was like, at that point, it was like, because I had been calling management, like, yo, somebody come up here because dude is looking at me. If y'all gonna, I'm gonna let y'all handle it, but I'm gonna defend myself, right? Exactly. So, and by that I mean, I'm gonna let this motherfucker know. I see him staring at me. and I know what those stares mean.
Yeah.
And you get like, you know what I'm saying? If I sit up here and try to look, no. That's a sign of aggression.
Yeah.
And people, a lot of those people hadn't had those signs, but they have no idea what a real fight is like. What are y'all doing over there, animals?
Oh,
right. Yo, they said that the cat sometimes lets the rabbit out.
I love that. Yeah. Let me just help you out.
Or the rabbit lets itself out. We have a rabbit and a cat in the studio.
Okay.
They live here. And there's a rabbit in a cage, and sometimes the rabbit can get out. And they actually filmed how the rabbit gets out of the cage, and it's either with the assistance of the cat or not. Quick sidebar. Anyway. It was wild over there.
He had a store in the middle of the hood, had all these high ticket items. You were hiring some people who cared about the job, some people didn't give a fuck. Some people who literally start working there just so they can steal something and bounce. So people who got the job
tell me some stealing stories, because you probably know more than I did, because I was
I'm not gonna say his name.
Don't say his name. Shout out to him, though.
Yeah, shout out to him. I was in a break room with a coworker. We're sitting there talking. He picks up his jacket. Now, everybody knows how much, you know, niggas love NBA 2K Live when it was the shit.
2K when it, yeah.
We're sitting there talking. He picks up his jacket to leave. NBA 2K Live was a week from coming out. And out rolls from his sleeve.
And if you don't know, we usually would get the games like a good week or two in advance.
Yeah, because sometimes we do like little midnight.
You do midnight launch or whatever, but you had to have everything in place. They didn't just come in the day of, and you had to, it was like big ticket item or something where you figure you're gonna have a huge release. That stuff will come in a couple weeks early, and then you set it up. Go ahead.
We were sitting there talking. He picks up his jacket to put it on. The disc for the new game literally rolls out his sleeve, falls on the floor in front of us, and it's just sitting there. It's just like
it's the guy.
Like a TV show. It spins mad slow. I look at him. He looks at me. He said, "Oh man, Trevor." I was like, "Dude, I don't give a fuck." Come on. He just has this dumb ass smile on his face.
Right.
And I'm like, "Dude, you gotta do better than this. Like, if you're gonna do that, put it in your pocket." He's like, "Yeah," and I was like, "Look, let me just let you know.
Remember that you stashed it to steal it later."
And I was like, "Hey, just letting you know, do not put that disc in your PlayStation and go online. PlayStation will see that you have it earlier, and they will track your IP and everything." He's like, "They can do that?" I was like, "Yes, please don't do that." He's like, "Oh, I might as well wait then." I was like, "Yeah, I guess you should." But that moment was like, even though it's from somebody doing something stealing.
Now they can tell that if you haven't purchased it or if you put it in early.
They know the release date is May 1st.
Okay.
They know you have it a week before then.
Right.
As soon as you hook it up and it goes to update on their servers, they're like, "Wait, why do you
have to
check the IP and everything like that?" And it only is proximity. They're like, "Well, what stores do we got that's
giving out?" This a regular nigga.
They'll find out.
It's a regular nigga IP.
They'll find out, and they'll either get to you or whoever. But, that's one of the many stories. Remember we had the trio, the Trinity, who was stealing in the store. There was somebody from LP, somebody from computers, somebody from Car-Fi. And it was like, and nobody was stealing out of necessity.
Yeah, at that point, it was a lot of, like I said, maybe at one point. Morale was shit. And
when that goes, man, people just do it out of disrespect.
They just don't care.
It was like you just go through the motions. You show up to work, you work. Friday comes around.
There's no appreciation. There's no, and by appreciation, just like, "Hey, thanks for coming in and thanks for giving a shit about this thing that doesn't make you a whole lot of money."
Thanks for dealing with the bullshit of dealing with these customers who complain in your face
and
about
it's a high stress job. And we talked a lot about one of the ways of dealing with stress is that a lot of people, you have friends at the store, and then you have where it just turns into high school and everybody's fucking each other.
It was half that. It was half friends, half this, and all the little drama in between and whatnot. But we had Applebee's sometimes on Fridays.
So
go get some cheap ass drinks, some shitty food, and to vent about.
And nothing. And for some reason, that beer hit different when you got your work clothes on, dog. That shit smack. You go over there, you get that cheap ass Brutus Coors. That tall boy, and you knock it back like, "Damn, this is cold. Like, this is delicious." And it's just nasty ass beer. It's Coors is piss water. But after you've been dealing with everybody else's crap at working retail, because people are stupid when they spend money, and they're just increasingly annoying.
Did I ever tell you? When I switched from warehouse to Geek Squad. The lady who kid put the DS in the oven, got cooked somehow. Not sure. I don't know what happened, but lady came in. I got the protection plan. All right, sure. She plops that burnt piece of shit on the counter and is like, "What's this?" Said, "Oh, it's a DS." I was like,
"That's not cut."
I said, "No, that's not." And she's hella high water. Manager, blah blah. You sold me this. Who helped me? I don't want to say her name either. Somebody helped me, but we end up just giving her the money back that she paid for the protection plan. It was like $15.
Yeah.
So here you go. But she was like adamant. Like, what do you? You burnt a piece. Like, if you burn a car with Chris, like, you can't tell somebody to tow it back to the lot and like, I'm all set.
No, and it states clearly what is protected. Like, you destroying it or the person who owns it destroying it is not covered.
Yeah, and
like,
if people think the word manager is some type of, like,
kryptonite to
us. Yeah, like, oh, you just, like, you see on the tip of, like, they're looking at you and you're like, blah, blah, blah. You're telling them what's truthful and you're being upfront with them. Like, hey, I understand.
Right.
And they're just like, manager. Like, this, it just, cool. Like, it, like, leaks out. And they're like, yeah, I want to speak to a manager. Like, but I just...
Cool. He's going to tell you the same thing that I just told you, but, you know, you're more than welcome to speak with a manager who's just going to tell you the same thing I did.
You have to deal with those people. And I miss retail, though. Like, hanging out with everybody. Like,
yeah, I miss like, y'all. I don't miss retail.
That's more correct. Yeah,
I miss y'all. Because even when we were there, there were times where it was like people who would leave and get a higher paying job and like come back to us and be like, what y'all do today, dog? Like, yeah, just trying to live vicariously through everything we were doing. And it was just like, yeah, man, don't nobody at this job even know what Yoshi or like they don't even know what Smash Brothers is. It's just like,
you missed the crew. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if you get this one thing we did. I don't know why we did this. And I feel sorry for whoever customer bought this washer or dryer. There's a washer. We get off Top Stock. There's me, you, Ant.
Oh shit.
Leonard, and I don't know why. And so we could have just got the ladder. I mean the
because
the hydraulic jack.
Yeah.
We have time for that shit.
Big Joe. Yeah. Stupid ass Big Joe.
We just manhandled that stuff. And we got it down. We lifted it down. And it was giving us a little trouble. And when we got it to the ground, we was all like, man, fuck this washer. Like, I think you gave me like a little elbow. I needed it. And Mike kicked it. And I was like, and Ant was just sitting there like, what are you doing?
Y'all do?
Yeah, we like locked down the boom. We all gave it a call. Just the washer did something wrong to us.
But I had to pick it up.
I'll never forget that shit because Ant just looked and he's like, man, y'all crazy. He's like, y'all niggas crazy. And he just turned around and walked out.
And Ant was our soup in the warehouse. Shout out to Ant.
His brother just trying to keep his head above water.
He was. He was a stand up dude who had to deal with way more stress than we did. And anything that he did a really good job of not letting the shit trickle down to when people were on his ass to like get on our asses about whatever. Like he took a lot of stuff on the chin and as far as like looking out for us, he was one of the soups that really worked for his guys. And I know I try to tell him like at least once a year, I'll never be able to repay him for because I'll save that for last. I'll save that one for last because that's super important. But I also wanted to talk about at least some past stories. Some of the people that worked adjacent to us, so delivery guys, the UPS dude, the old skinny UPS dude.
Oh yeah,
that was my dude. I forgot what his name was, but he was cool as hell. But then I found out he was like a murderer. Because I found out this dude was a murderer because he, I was playing, I just play anything in the warehouse. He's crazy, play ridiculous playlist. I was playing Santana, Black Magic Woman, and I pulled up the chain link door, whatever the sliding door up, and he was like, oh man. I love this song. You always have like that high ass, like cool voice. It was like, oh man, that's that Santana. Boy, I tell you, made me think about Nam. It was like, as in Vietnam, the Vietnam War. Yeah, baby, them was good times, man. It was like, whoa. So he was either liked killing, or he was just knocking off Vietnamese women all the time and getting high, or both. So it was like, God, I swear, his name, he wasn't James. James was, I should redact that name, but I won't. But he was annoying as hell, man. That old dude. Hey, all right, man. Hey. You know, dude, he's had a blue jacket.
Yeah,
dark skinned dude. Oh man,
it's so weird. I can remember them. The UPS guy, I definitely remember him.
The UPS guy
seemed to have this like happiness about
him. Yeah, he was cool. He was like just happy delivering packages.
Here you go, man. You sign.
Hey, all right now. take it easy. he was cool as hell. And then that's when he was like, nah. I was like, as in Vietnam? As in the Vietnam War? But,
because retail, even though he didn't work for
it, he didn't work.
You met people from such a wide array of different points in life. Because there's something you just jump into if you need, you know, side money or whatever the case may be. So he met all type of different people.
Yeah,
worked with all type of people. What I never understood was why they kept putting, not that everything with white people, they kept putting the wrong, like, white managers.
White managers. In Dorchester. That's what I'm saying. It was like the
obvious. I'm not saying they couldn't be there. It just seemed like there was definitely a disconnect.
It was no fit. There was no fit. Yeah. They didn't care. Like, even Crutchley, Crutchley was, as cool as Crutchley was, and as much as he, you know, he was cool to hang around or whatever, and as much as he tried to connect and he actually cared about people, he wasn't the right fit. Like, Leo was there, and Leo was, you know, he's a 6'6" black man, black Hispanic man who was loud when he came in, and he was just like a big-ass Santa Claus, but, like, he also had a thing with everybody. Like, the nigga's connection was crazy, and also he tried to holler at my wife before. he was also sleazy. Shout out to you, sleazy motherfucker. But, He still had that connection to where, like, he like pulled me to the side one time, like, cause he would notice who was doing the hardest work. He would notice who was working, and he was like, "How much you make?" You know, I told him how much I made. He was like, "All right, well, I'll give you another dollar per hour, if you can have the top stock and appliances straight, like this. But this is atrocious, like." He was like pointing at like how everything went up and down. He was like, top stock needs to look uniform. Like it should be, even if it's straight across here and this is lower and that's straight across, it needs to be straight across. Like it needs to be tight. And I did it. And then he was like, you know, they came in like maybe a couple weeks to a month later. It was, he came back from like a trip where he had to do like with the district or,
they're off in a hotel.
The company or whatever, right? You know, doing blow and fucking like everybody does on that.
All right, let's get back.
I ain't seen you in a year. Smash that, yeah. But he came back from the trip and was like, "All right, so you should see. You're gonna see the pay reflect, you know, in your next check." And but he would do stuff like that. Like he would, you know, everybody had a story about how he had challenged them with something and then had like, you know, made that deal. And but just on a level to where he connected with the community, Haji would connect with the community, people come in there looking for him, and I mean he was giving deep discounts, but fuck it, why not?
No, but that was like, that's, you want, like, retail play is like, they go, it's wide, they want to spend a bunch of shit, sell a bunch of it for cheap to make the revenue in the long haul,
right?
And people like that, Haji, he would come in and see somebody. Hey, how you doing? Can you grab the woman's arm? Let me let's talk.
Like walk her to the thing.
It wasn't like sleazy. It was like, so he just knew.
Yeah,
he was so cool and like confident. And
yeah, he has a store up the street from my house now. I don't know how it's doing because when I went over there, I just happened to be walking by, and because he had a store in Meadow Glen before they shut that down, And then,
like his own little like electronics or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, he had an electronics store in the Meadow Glen Mall before they shut the Meadow Glen Mall down. And then he took a little time off. And then I was walking down the street, and there was a, it was like an electronics store. They said they sold, you know, Xbox games or whatever. And I'm just, oh, fuck it, I'll go in here and see what dusty ass games they got in here. And it was Haji just at the desk. I'm like, Haji, what the hell are you doing here? He's like, oh, look at it. It was like we all had that connect with Haji because he, you know, it, which he should have been the fucking store manager because people were looking for him all the time. And when he left because they weren't going to give him that store, all his customers left. And it affected the business. It was like, you know, they're going to go where he goes. But, you know, that's just the glass ceiling for you. We could go on all day, but I think I want to just get to the last one with Ant because it's super special. And like I said, the dude was just stand up, and it was Black Friday, or we were about to be Black Friday was upon us. And my brother called me and was like, "Yo, we gotta go for Mom's birthday, and on Thanksgiving, my mom's birthday was November 24th, so." It always falls in or on or around Thanksgiving. I had done maybe 5 Black Fridays before that, so I was just like, "Ooh, I got Black Friday coming up. I don't know." And he was like, "Fuck it, get Black." He was like, "Get it. Who cares? Just take it off and go." So I'm like, "All right, fine." Because again, I had missed a bunch of times at my mom's birthday because. So. You know, I'm like, all right, I'm going to get it off. And by that time, I had also been fed up enough to where I was like, I need to take it off. And it was like, you know, nobody gets it off. And I'm like, you get it off if you quit. And he was like, I was like, I might have to quit. Just because I had, and it wasn't like it was like a birthday that was like divisible by 5 or anything like that. It was just like, yo, we need to go. Yeah, it was like, yeah, we need to go. So, you know, I ended up, I go to Ant. I'm like, yo, might just have to quit either way. He was like, you know, just put it in. I'll approve it. They're going to talk shit to me about giving you the day off, but I know what it's like, man. Like I've been with this company for 10 some odd years now. I've been missing, you know, had to work all these Black Fridays. Everybody shouldn't have to do that. So, yo, people are going to be pissed when they listen to this and hear all this damn motorcycles in the background. But no, long story short, I take it off. I go to Detroit, see my mom, hang out with my family. Jada was just born, so she's damn near a newborn. She's like maybe 5 months old. So everybody, you know, he gets to see the baby, hang out, whatever. Everybody comes back home. And then under a month, he passed away. And so I could not imagine had I just like not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like had I just been like, no, Dad, I gotta work this retail ass job. And just decided to stay there and then miss that opportunity to hang out with him before he passed away. Like I said, it was under a month of me seeing him. And so I had to go back home, obviously, help my mom make the arrangements. She had to go out to Houston to get, you know, to make all those arrangements. And she had to have the body shipped up to Detroit, all the stuff. And you know, people who... There are a lot of people who have, you know, sent money or whatever to help because, you know, he's 40. Like, we didn't have any idea that we would need to bury him anytime soon. So it was just like, I want to say it was diabetes. Didn't know. Nobody knew. So, you know, but Ant was, you know, I had to thank Ant like you, dude. Like, there was no, I can't ever repay you for doing that. But, And that's what I'm saying, because he understood, like he was saying, like, you know, family first, family first.
Yeah,
go with your family. Yeah, so, major shout out to Ant for that at all times. But anyway, no, I mean, it ended on a bummer, but it was like, I mean, but it was important, yeah.
That's like supervisors who, like, obviously you can't see something like that happening, but
right.
Supervisors who, like, are empathetic and right. Understand, like, I'm a person too, I understand, go be with your family, like, good, because like it's not like they're trying to do it to get work out of you, but they created a stronger bond.
Right, exactly. As people, he could call me right now. Like, I need you to kill a guy. Yeah, like, all right, that nigga's dead.
Yeah,
consider him dead.
Address. No, but like stuff like that is like what you know. It, That's part of the bond you were talking about. Yeah. The people you met, like you miss the people you miss and everything like that. And something like that, you can't put into words how much it means.
Yeah, exactly. Really? No, like, it means a lot. I can just tell you what happened and then you have to, I mean, obviously. So.
Yeah, it means a lot.
But yeah, shout out to him. Shout out to everybody we ever worked with. Fuck some of y'all, but you know, shout out to y'all still. I'm hoping that, I mean, I still wanted to do like a reunion at some point. So I got a couple people that I'm trying to hit up right now, like literally right now on this phone. But like I said, we got more stories. So Retail 2 will come at some point. Until then, for Travoy Pruitt, this is Handsome Bane, and also for Boston traffic.
Whatever the hell's going on.
Whatever is happening out there. Love, trust, and belief. We see you later. Peace.
This is the elevator music for the gateway to heaven. I made it in a spaceship that take 87. Chillin' watching holograms and lucky number 11. You can Kansas City shuffle just for fucking with my brethren. From the ghetto to living life like George Jetson. But of course with more sex and more flexing, I'm more or less obsessed with the prospect of killing time altogether just as a concept.